Yea, and the oppressor behind thee. Was not the Lord thy God with thee, and did he not make a way before thee? You were the pursued, yea, and a cloud was between thee and the Egyptian, and you were not allowed to be overcome again by him, and you did pass through the water as baptized unto Moses, and did enter a new land and a new way where you did learn the ways of thy God, and thy hand was put to learn war, and thy mouth was caused to thirst, and thy heart was famished. But thou didst turn to the Lord and learn the ways of thy God and know that he was with thee in the wilderness. Thou didst know that the Lord thy God was thy God and would sustain thee. He would uphold thee, and he did build within thy knowledge and consciousness a faithfulness of him that was planted in thee. And thou hast come now to another crossing. Thou art no longer the pursued, thou hast become the pursuer. Thou shalt go forward, yea, a crossing, broad crossing. Yea, the crossing shall be as one that shall be broad before thee, not as narrow before. Thou shalt cross over into the land and become the pursuer. Yea, but be diligent, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, neither would he have thee be slack concerning thy pursuit. Thou shalt set thy heart in thy mind, that thou shalt go over and utterly cast out that which the Lord thy God has given into thy hand.
Yes, amen.
Lord Jesus, Lord, our hearts are staggered tonight, Lord, as we realize, Lord, it helps us so much when the students come, Lord, and we can appreciate how you must feel looking down upon this globe, Lord, and seeing the people from every culture, every tongue. And Lord, we know there are so many more who are not here tonight, Lord, who have never even heard the name of Jesus. And some of them, Lord, live naked. Some live in jungles. Some live in cold places in the earth, in Tibet and other places. And some have never heard. And yet we know, Lord, that in this end time they must hear. And we know, Lord, that you're preparing each one of us here that someday they too will be joined with our ranks and will be singing and clapping and praising the Lord. And Lord, and it makes us happy and it makes you happy, Lord. And that's what it's all about. We thank you for the blood of the cross that makes it all possible. That by your stripes we were healed. Praise the Lord. That you died for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this world. Hallelujah. That you are coming again in the clouds of glory. And we will see you, and there will be a meeting in the air. And it is not that far off, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That you are preparing your church in this hour. We pray you'll forgive us our many sins as we forgive everyone who has transgressed against us. Now, Lord, deliver us from all deception, all that is not of Jesus, and grant that we may receive the truth of God in Christ Jesus, and we'll be careful to give you the praise in his name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And let's turn to Ephesians 4. We'll turn to Ephesians 4. And read a few verses because we are studying in Revelation 11. Therefore, we will turn to Ephesians 4. Continuing our study of Revelation chapter 11 from the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Okay. All right. Okay, let's read together verses 11, 12, and 13 in Ephesians 4. And here we go. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now I think all of us here are in Pentecost, and we have all heard the teaching on the various gifts and ministries of the body of Christ. But I think it is good for us to recognize that in all of this ministry, there is a goal. And I don't think that we should stress too much just the five ministries represented in Ephesians 4:11, or I see them as four, pastors and teachers being much the same. But as we go out into the harvest field, in all the gifts and ministries of the Holy Ghost are working toward God's end. They're working towards God's end. Now, what is God's end? What is God attempting to accomplish here? What is God after with the gifts and ministries? Why has God given you a gift and a ministry? What is His purpose in this? What is God doing? So we find that it says that He gave these, in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. Now we usually think of ministry for the salvation of sinners. But the ministries are given for the perfecting of the saints. One of these ministries in here is given for the saving of sinners, the evangelist. But even there, it is not God's intention that people stop with basic salvation. The evangelists move in and bring the good news, but then these other ministries move right in, and they have a specific task in mind. It is not just enough to make a big noise. God is after something. And it is not an existence yet, but it will be an existence, I believe, in your generation. I believe that your generation will see this come to pass. I don't think that it's ever really come to pass in the earth before, but I believe it will come to pass before Jesus comes, that these various gifts and ministries will attain the goal that God has. And he says, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now the word Christ means the one anointed with oil. Christ is the lampstand. Christ is the lampstand of the tabernacle that we have here, and you'll be getting a book on the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle here, there's a little lampstand. And that is what the word Christ means, is this lampstand. It's taller in the center, unlike some you've seen, because the central shaft represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And the six side branches, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, represent man. Six in the Bible represents man because man was made on the sixth day. So in the lampstand, what you have is Christ, the center, and then this, and man, his humanity and his deity and the church and the whole thing, whenever you have the lampstand. Now, at the end here, there are lamps. It is not a candlestick. In the King James, it says candlestick. There is no wax. It burns oil. There are seven lamps. This is a lamp. It's gold. It's hammered from gold. And it holds these seven lamps. There's a lamp and a little flame in each one. There's olive oil and a little wick and a flame. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And that is in the holy place of the tabernacle, the lampstand, and its purpose is to give light. And it represents Christ. The word Christ means, the word Christ is not a proper name. The word Christ is a title. The proper name is Jesus, or Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth. But his last name is not Christ. Christ is a title, and it means the one anointed with oil. Jesus, the one whom God anointed with oil, the idea is he's anointed with oil so that he gives light to the world. Jesus is the anointed deliverer. In the Hebrew word, which means Christ, is what? Messiah. Messiah is Hebrew. Christ is Greek. English would be the anointed one. And what it is in Nigerian or Buganda or Swahili, I do not know. But in Hebrew, it is Messiah. And in English, it is anointed, and in Greek, it is what? Christ. The word Christ or Christos is Greek. So when you receive the gifts of the Spirit, you'll find in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it says, "For as the body," meaning your human body, "has many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is," what? You remember 1 Corinthians 12? "So also is Christ." In other words, Christ, or the anointed one of God, is made of many members. Christ is made of many members. That's what it says. Is the body is one, it's 1 Corinthians 12, and has many parts, but it's still one body, but it has many parts, so also is Christ. Now, when Christ came, Jesus is our exalted Lord. Jesus is different from us. He's the Word of God from the beginning. He is the only begotten of the Father, and He is our Lord and Savior. And we are not putting ourselves up on the plane with Jesus. He is our Lord. He is the Christ of God. Now, it pleased God that Jesus should not be alone, but He is making for Him a fullness or a body. And the purpose of the ministries that you have and I have are to perfect the saints, to build up the one body of Christ, of the lampstand, of this one that's anointed with oil that gives light to the world. Now, there was no body of Christ when the Lord came, and there was no body of Christ on the day of Pentecost. There was no body of Christ. There was a collection of people. But you see, the body of Christ is infinitely more than a collection of people. You know what a collection of people is? It's a mob or a congregation. They may be going all different ways, but they are not a body. You know, you could go to a hospital or wherever they slice up dead bodies, and you might find a finger. One time when I taught the fifth grade, I used to be a fifth grade teacher, and we had a brain. One of the students' mothers worked in the county coroner's office, and I said, "Get me a brain." So the little girl come in with a brain in a plastic bag filled with this brain, which was about so big. Human brain is pretty good. You don't know how you get it in there. This must have been a pretty smart individual. Had a good-sized brain, and it was in a plastic bag, like a baggie filled with formaldehyde. So we put it on the piano, and there it sat for the school year, which reminded us of the brevity of life, was this brain. But you could have a brain and a finger and a wrist and a knee bone and a foot, but that doesn't make a body. In fact, if you had all the parts, how many there is, 3,000 anyway, you still would not have a body. Because a body It's more than the sum of the parts. It's all these parts working as one. Unless you've got a disease that they don't work as one. And it's a disease when they don't coordinate. But a body is not a collection of parts. And then 120 in the upper room was a collection of parts. Now, the ministries are given to build a body. Now, there's all these parts work. You have to have Calvary where we're washed in the blood. That makes us eligible for the dealings of God. Then you have to have the laver of water baptism. Repent, and we have to receive Jesus and be baptized in water, which brings us into the church area where we come first to the table of showbread. Now, we'll be taking tonight the New Testament equivalent of the table of showbread. That's one of the three great things that turns the groups of Christians into the one body of Christ, is that we all eat the same flesh and drink the same blood. Now, see, that was not true in the 112. Well, they may have observed the communion, I don't know. But they hadn't had time for that to be really working in them because they didn't have the Holy Spirit, don't you see? So it takes a period of time for us, as Paul said to the church at Galatia, to be in this travail until Christ is formed in us. Now, that's the table of showbread. When Christ or something substantial is formed in us that is divine. That is divine. We are being changed. There is coming forth within us a new creature. We are just not anointed flesh and blood. There is a new creature. If any man be in Christ, there is a new creature. And that new creature is formed on the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. The second thing, now this area in here represents the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are three things that work in the church. First, the body and blood. And that should come forth to you if the minister is waiting upon God and speaking by the Spirit, he is feeding you the body and blood of the Lord. It is coming out through the Spirit. You are receiving something into your spirit. Not just information, not just something in theology or out of a textbook, but he is giving you out from his life, the body and blood of Christ shared with you. All right, the second thing that must be true in any church is the lampstand, that is the gifts and ministries of the Holy Spirit. Now, we are trying to move toward that in this church. So we're giving opportunity and space in the church for the members of the body to pray, to sing, and do things. Now, we're coming along. We're closer than we were a year ago. We're not there yet. You know how I'll know we're there? When an unsaved person walks in this church, he gets about halfway down the aisle and falls on his face and says that God is in this place. We are moving toward the lampstand. When the whole church rises up and begins to prophesy the secrets of his heart. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Now, you can't have just the gifts and ministries. You must have the Word of God, the substance of Christ, but we also must have the moving of the body of Christ. Now, we had that in early Pentecost, but by and large, the elders have kind of put quieting down on the saints because it's very hard to manage. See, as soon as you allow people to take their liberty in the Lord, you've got a certain amount of problems. Because there will be people who that you will get in your church who every time you give them a half a chance will take over. Now, what you can do is to throw out the whole thing and have a program so tight that a mouse couldn't peep in the corner unless it was on the program. And you can sew the thing from east to west until it click, 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 and there isn't 2 seconds of silence because you know as surely as there is, someone will have a travail or someone will get up and wreck your program. So the solution to that It's not to cast it all out and throw out the baby with the bath, as we say. You know, if you're afraid of wildfire, you put out all the fire. The solution to it is to have elders who know how to move with the flock and not kill them when they make a mistake. Oh, yeah, yeah, the things that go on. Some poor saint, after wrestling with herself for 3 months, finally dares to give a prophecy, and some elder will jump up and say, "That's not the Lord! You're in the flesh! Sit down!" I'm telling you, it's like shooting a mosquito with an elephant gun. All you have to do is frown, and she won't sleep all night. But you get up and say something like that, man, you'll be lucky if she stays sane. Man, go home. Ah, boy, I was in the flesh. What do you think you're in? So was the elder. And what do you think the pastor was like when he started out? He may still be. So, you don't begin prophesying like Isaiah. You know, he didn't have written down everything the man prophesied. You have a chance to make trial and error. But after a while, when you get the hang of it, then, you know, you can be trusted. So the solution to the gifts and ministries of the Holy Ghost, it's not to silence the church to where you have an orchestra or something, but is to have godly elders, and when somebody does something wrong, all you have to do is just bow your head and pray. They get the message. You don't have to do anymore. They go home and they're wrung out, you know, for 2 weeks before they recover. But the next time, they'll do better, and the next time they'll do better. And pretty soon you'll have a church that when the unsaved comes in, or one unlearned or an unbeliever, the whole church will rise up and prophesy in the Spirit. And to start, one will defer. They learn. And how can you learn something unless you practice?
Amen.
So we have to have the body and blood of the Lord if we're going to be built into the one body of Christ. And we have to have a much more of the moving of the body, and you know, there's a beautiful symmetry and harmony to the body of Christ. But it doesn't come when everybody sits around and waits for the Spirit, and it doesn't come when you regiment it, you know, and everybody get up and everybody sit down. It's harder than that, and it doesn't come in where everybody sits down. We've tried that. We've tried them all, but it doesn't work. God has given apostles and prophets. He's given leadership to the body of Christ. And if he'd want everybody to sit down and wait for the Spirit, he wouldn't have given leadership. That's hard for people. Oh, boy, they react against the church. Then they want to have a home group where nobody's the leader. Actually, there's somebody in there that's a leader. Don't you worry about it. There's a leader in every group, whether you call him the moderator or what you call him. You got him, because that's just the group dynamics. And if you don't, you'll get one. So you better have God-ordained leaders if you're going to do anything in the body of Christ. Now, we are coming to this third area now. We are coming to the lampstand. Now, that's new to us. Most of us are used to the body and blood. We're used to being taught the Word of God. We've learned some about Pentecost. But now we're coming to this place of prayer and death to self, the willingness to pray. Now, we haven't been all that great. I'll tell you, the people who pray and worship God and pray and seek the Lord are people who are dying to self.
Amen.
People who are humble. They're not coming in and, boy, we're going to do it now, and they work feverishly, but they're people who defer to the Lord and pray and worship the Lord and praise Him. And we've got to come to that altar of incense. It's not enough that we have the Word. It's not enough that we have the gifts and ministries of the Holy Spirit. We must have a church that is a praying church. You say, can you have the gifts and ministries without prayer? Uh-huh. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can have people popping up, getting all kinds of things and learning to work their gifts, and that's part of it. But there's another part that brings the awe and the presence of God. And that is when the saints come in. Now, this is not gifts and ministries. It's the saints coming in before the service, some anyway that can, and spending time, hours in prayer for every service. That's the lampstand. Because, you see, that's God's portion. The body and blood is coming to us. The gifts and ministries are going out to the other, but that lampstand is what goes to God. And if you don't give God His portion, if you don't stop your teaching and your prophesying and spend some time in waiting upon God, then He doesn't get His portion. And if God doesn't get His portion, you won't have the power of God. You may have all the gifts, you may have the word and everything, but you will not have the presence of God. Now, as these three things come to the fullness in the assemblings of believers, something begins to happen. We begin to be built up into this lampstand of the Lord. The lampstand of the Lord is gold. It is deity. The church does not bear witness by what it knows. It bears witness by what it is. The church is supernatural. The tabernacle of the congregation was the tabernacle of witness, not because of what people said, but because what it was. The church is the witness of God, not because we go telling people what we know about Jesus. That is ministry. When you tell people about Jesus, that is either evangelism or teaching. When you tell people about Jesus, that is evangelism and teaching. Maybe out from human beings. Maybe knowledgeable human beings. Maybe anointed human beings. But there's something that goes deeper in the church. And that is what the church itself is. It is not wood. Wood in the Bible represents humanity. The church is not good people trying to do good in the community. It is not a social institution. It is supernatural. It is the prophet of God among men. And the only testimony that will ultimately stand is that which is given by the Lord. The testimony is divine. It is supernatural. And so the lampstand is golden. There is no wood in it. It is not cast into shape. They knew the art of casting. The Jews knew the art of casting from Egypt. They knew how to make a mold in the sand and pour molten metal in it. But these lampstands were made the hard way with a hammer. They started with a block of gold and they hammered the lampstand out of that gold. And that's what's going on with the church. For 2,000 years, tap, tap, tap. You can't cast it. If people are looking for the church to become perfect through the outpouring of the Spirit, or they're looking for it at the rapture to become perfect. It doesn't become perfect by casting. You can't cast it in a mold and then file the burrs off it. They knew the art of casting. They could have made 300 lampstands casting them in the time it took to hammer that thing out of malleable gold. That's the hard way. That's the way the lampstand is made. It will not be made any other way. We're looking for shortcuts all the time. The church of Jesus Christ has been through this hammering for 2,000 years. God is tap, 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 persecution, mistakes, trials, tribulation, ignorances, knowledge, peoples, every other kind of thing. Tap, 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 tap. God is building something. And it is supernatural. It is not natural. The world today is trying to get familiar with the church. Reject it. We don't need the world. We don't need their help. We don't need their money. We don't need their education. What we have comes down from above. Amen. It isn't born of man. It's not born of the intelligence of man. It is not of man. It comes from above. Nothing of it comes from beneath. all that's from beneath is us as God takes us and brings forth within us a new creature. Amen. And he is supernatural, born of God. Hallelujah. John 1:13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of man, but of God.
Hallelujah.
2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. And all things are of God. Divine. Supernatural. They're not human. They're not our trying to hold the rock. They're not our trying to tell how wonderful Jesus is. They're merely allowing God to make us the lampstand, the testimony, so that the Holy Spirit can come upon us and the oil of God can burn and give light. Praise the Lord.
Praise.
Don't mind the tappings of the Lord. There's no other way. Now notice what he says. He gave these for the edifying. Thank you. Literally, not the information, but the edifying. The word in verse 12 comes from the Greek word for house, oikos. Oikos, it means the building. The building. God is building a lampstand. And let's see what else it says. The building up of the body of Christ. He isn't just building a church. He's building the one body of Christ. There are not all these other bodies. You can have an Episcopal body, a congregation of believers. You can have a Pentecostal body. You can have a Baptist congregation. You can have a Mennonite congregation. You can have a Quaker congregation. You can have a Reformed congregation. And all these are good. And to the extent that they do these things, the thing that God is after will be brought into being. And why do all these things fight and compete with one another? Because they are not the body of Christ.
Amen.
They are the high hills leaping. And God, that's what it says, Psalm 68. Why do you leap, you high hills? I mean, this one says, I'm the one, and this is the one, and we've got the doctrine. None of it is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is supernatural. It is the body of Messiah.
Amen.
And it will be formed in any church that gives the body and blood, that gives the Holy Spirit, and that spends time in prayer. There's no other way you can form it. A lot of things that are done in the church, in some respects, are a waste of time. Unless you've got all the time in the world, you can afford to do all this other stuff too. But there's only certain things that build up the body of Christ. And outside of that, they perform outside or auxiliary functions. They don't do the one important thing of building up the supernatural life of God and changing you from what you were to a brand new creature. God isn't looking just for anointed people. He has them under the Old Testament. He that is least in the kingdom is greater than those people. Why? Because something supernatural has been wrought in him. And that was not true of Elijah. Elisha, they were flesh and blood men, anointed by God. But he that is least in the kingdom is a new creature, supernatural, born from above, born on the body and blood of the Son of God. And that wasn't true of any prophet. He that is least in the kingdom. God is building something new, something that's never been before. And the churches are an imitation. Well, that isn't the word either. They're man's response to try to figure out and do good as much as he can. But we're coming to the day when God is going to show what he wants.
Amen.
And then every congregation and every denomination is going to have the wonderful choice of going God's way or its own. And that is some choice, because that means no longer are you loyal to your big organization and its money, which depends in part on people that are taken from other groups. It means nothing. Well, that's too harsh. It has been used of God. It has been used of God. I don't think it's of the devil. It's just simply immaturity. It's like a child. A child does a lot of things that we could do without. A lot of things we could do without. But it isn't of the devil. It's simply because it's a child. And denominations are childish. And that's what Paul said. You're not children. You kind of can't feed you. Well, now I'm a Paul, I'm a Apollos, I'm this. Denominationalism is childish. And I don't fight it. There's no use. Fight, you can't fight children. What do you say to a child? Don't be a child. Don't play with that little truck there. Get in and drive a big one. No, no. No way. No way. He'll take you up on it. Believe me. His little tootsies can reach the pedal and he's on his way. All right. All right. The building up of the body of Christ till we all come. Till we all come. See, there's no doubt here. Something's going to happen one of these days till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Not perfect men, unto a perfect man. Unto a perfect man. How perfect? About as perfect as you get people, huh? Nice, beautiful people. Perfect. Intelligent? Well-educated? No. That's not the measure. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah. Now, why is God building this lampstand? Let's see if I've got time to tell you. I've got just time to tell you. Revelation 11. That's why you're here in the school of ministry. That's why you're here in the school of ministry. We've discussed in this church the preceding verses in Revelation 11, 1, 2, and 3. We've talked about the fact that the people who are at the altar of incense today are being judged. And if you're a Pentecostal person, you love the Lord and you're praying, there's more than an even chance that you're sustaining some trouble and perplexity and upset. Is that true of anyone? You want to see your picture? Revelation 11, 1. Measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. I want to see if I'm anywheres near my lampstand. Because I have a job for it to do. Why do you think God is building a lampstand? Why? Because it's dark in heaven? To look at, not to use? What's he going to light with it? What is God going to light with this body of Christ once he gets it built? What's he going to do with it? Take it up to heaven and use it for nothing? What is he building it for? Light what?
World.
Light the world. Verse 3, I will give. And by the way, this word in Revelation 11, 3, it says, I will give. And then the word is in italics because it isn't in there in the Greek. It just says, and I will give unto my two witnesses. You know what he gives? Whatever you have need of, brother, whatever you have need of to do your job. With Moses, it was a certain amount of courage. All right. And I will give power, authority, or whatever you need unto my two witnesses. Two witnesses. My two what? My what? What are they bearing witness of? You shall receive power. And you shall be my witnesses. And of what do we bear witness? The death and resurrection and coming again of Jesus Christ. That is why God anointed the apostles to bear witness of his resurrection. His atoning death, his triumphant resurrection. That is what the world needs to hear today. It's what the church needs to hear today. They need to hear the true nature of God. Amen. We don't bear witness of our church. We don't bear witness of our plans. We don't bear witness of what we're going to do. We don't bear witness of anything except the crucified Jesus. Jesus! We tell about Jesus crucified, raised, and coming again. Brother, when we preach that to the ends of the earth, God will confirm the word with signs following. That's what God wants preached. Not a whole bunch of stuff. Jesus crucified, risen, and coming again. Cast out devils, raise the dead, heal the sick, preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. To the poor.
Amen.
And they shall prophesy. Every witness is a prophet. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation chapter 19. And when you cannot say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost only anoints for one purpose, and that is to tell of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these men are anointed with the Holy Ghost, and he only speaks of one thing, Jesus Christ. What are the two witnesses going to preach? Jesus Christ. There's nothing else God will anoint. That's right. That's the message. Brother, there isn't any other. Now it says, these are the two olive trees. Now this quotation is taken from the fourth chapter of Zechariah. Zechariah in the Old Testament. And in Zechariah, there were two olive trees. An olive tree cannot do a thing by itself, brother. Except give olives, and we're not interested in olives at this point. We're not interested in olives. What are we interested in? Oil, brother, sister. We're interested in oil. Oil. For what? For the lampstand. The lampstand can't burn without oil. All we're concerned about, see, God is building a lampstand today. And when God gets it built, brother, sister, he's going to give it the oil. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That's the oil.
Yes, yes.
And if you'll read in Zechariah 4, these trees have tubes coming over so that that lampstand burns continually. We're heading toward an anointing that will not quit. Praise God. An anointing that the world has never seen. The double portion. The Elisha portion. You remember it was Elijah who said, "The Lord God before whom I stand." The two that stand before the Lord of the whole earth. Only one other person in the Bible ever used that expression. You know who it was? It was Elijah multiplied by two. Elisha. Twice Elijah said, "The Lord God before whom I stand." Twice Elisha said, "The Lord God before whom I stand." No one else ever used that expression. They're type of the two witnesses. There's a lot of other types too. Joshua and Caleb, Moses and Aaron, Adam and Eve, there's Sarah and Abraham. There's a lot of types, but you see, we're coming up to the greatest day of the Lord. Therefore, it will be the greatest witness of the Lord that God has ever seen. The earth has ever seen, Jesus said, the greater works. This is the greater works anointing. But you see, the two olive trees don't do a thing because all they're for is the oil. What you're after is the lampstand. Now, here it says, these are the two candlesticks. It means lampstands standing before the God of the earth. But when you turn back to Zechariah, the fourth chapter, you don't have two lampstands. you've only got one lampstand. Let me ask you a question. Who is the lampstand of Zechariah, the fourth chapter, into which the two trees empty? There was no church then, brother. Israel was not built up into the body of Messiah. Israel didn't have the gifts and ministries. Israel didn't have the altar and these things working. They didn't have a church. They were a congregation. In the midst of the congregation will I sing praise unto thee. Israel wasn't a body of anything. They were discrete, separate units. They were a church in the sense that they were called out, but they were not a body built up. Not one of them had been born again, because Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead. They were altogether different from us. And their prophets were just anointed human beings. There was no lampstand except one. Who was it? Every Bible teacher I've ever read says that that lampstand stands for Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is Christ, the light of the world. John 8, I am the light of the world. That light, even in John 8, was two witnesses, wasn't it? Because in John 8, Jesus went on to say, but if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. But there are two witnesses. My Father is bearing witness, and I am bearing witness. Therefore, there are two witnesses, and the witness of two men is true. John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. My Father is one who bears witness. I am one who bears witness. The testimony of two men is true. My Father and I, John chapter 8. There was no lampstand in the early church either. That's why in Acts 5:32, the apostles said, we are the witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Ghost. See, you must have two witnesses. You cannot have one witness. You always, the number of the Holy Spirit in witnessing power is always two. That's why there's two wave loaves of Pentecost. That's why Joshua and Caleb come back. If one to come back, no good. You have to have two men. Right? The testimony of two men is true. See? I am one. My Father's one. Yet it was one light of the world. Well, brother, sister, I believe I've never heard a Bible scholar say in my life that that lampstand in Zechariah 4 represented any human being. Because the Bible scholars know that gold represents divinity. And the oil represents the Holy Spirit. And if man fits in there anywhere, it's in the wick. Praise the Lord! Amen. The 2 olive trees, the power of God to witness. What was Elijah? A witness. The Lord God before whom I stand. What was Elisha? A witness with a double portion, and he died sick. Elijah went up to heaven on one portion. Elisha died sick with the double portion. Don't get hung up trying to get God to work in your little box. The reason Elisha died sick was so that a man could touch his bones and be raised from the dead, so that he'd be a type of the two witnesses who are overcome and then raised up. Praise the Lord! A double portion of Pentecost. But you see, there was only one lampstand. And that lampstand came, and in John 8, he said, I am the light of the world. But in Matthew, the 5th chapter, he says, you are the light of the world. So, brother, sister, we're coming to another lampstand. Hallelujah. We're coming to one who is in the image of the Lord. You see, there has to be two witnesses, two lampstands. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, Jesus said, the lampstands are the churches. No person in the Old Testament was ever called the lampstand of God. Just the church. Why are there two lampstands now or here? And there never has been before. He gave some apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists. For what purpose? To build something. What is he building? The body of Christ. The body of the lampstand. Now, you say, well, you mean these two work together? Jesus works together with his body? If there is anything that we have to learn, brother, sister, that's it. For 2,000 years, the church has been trying to be a lampstand. It's been trying to bear witness by itself. But if you'll turn, you remember in Matthew 28, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and lo, I am with. Not in. With. With means two or more. Lo, I am with you. Amy Semple McPherson said one time, the Lord said, go lay your hands. Healing ministry began. She was speaking in a place, and the Lord said, go lay your hands on those people and pray for them to get healed. She said, Lord, I don't dare do a thing like that. It was at the beginning of her ministry. And Jesus said, you lay your hands on them, and I'll lay my hands on your hands. Brother, sister, when we get it through our head not to try to go out by ourselves and save Nigeria and Uganda and Saudi Arabia and all these places till we work, till we're just a hank of hair and a bone, you're drawn to a frazzle. And say, Lord, I could sure use some help. And the Lord says, I've just been waiting for you to holler. How long are you going to try to do it by yourself? We've got to learn there are not one lampstand. You can't give a testimony. You have to have two witnesses. And in Mark 16, he says, the Lord work with them. Who confirmed with signs following? The Lord. They went around and said, this is the word of the Lord. And Jesus was right there and says, be healed. Be healed. He's working with them, confirming the word with signs following. The Lord does it. He didn't say the church did it. The Lord worked with them. When are we ever going to get it through our heads that there has to be the Lord working with us? You'll find all through Acts. But you see, Acts was not the church. Acts was the apostles. Acts 5.32, we are his witnesses. So the early church was not this lampstand. They had so much trouble, they didn't know when to speak in tongues, when not to speak in tongues, when the women are supposed to speak, when the women are not supposed to speak. What do you do when some man's living with his stepmother? How do you praise him and say, saved by grace? Do you throw him out of the church? What in the world do you do? Do you have offerings on Sunday? Do you have offerings on Monday? Do you collect it all? You have it ready for the apostle? Do you wait till he comes and spends half of his time taking up a collection for the poor saints? What do you do? Say, I'm a Paul. I'm an Apollos. Do we get circumcised? Don't we get circumcised? Do we listen to the Judaizers? Who do we listen to? What is Paul? He wasn't with the 12. What are you listening to him for? That's why in every epistle, Paul says, I am an apostle. When you get it through your head, I am an apostle. Why? Because he wasn't one of the 12. And they're always throwing it in his face. How come you didn't know nothing? You don't know nothing. Here you are. You're trying to be bigger than Peter and bigger. And here they were with the Lord for 3 years. And where did you come from? Last we heard of you, you were throwing everybody in jail. And they never let him forget it either. Smart. He knows more than Peter. He knows more than James. He knows more than John. Who's this? You know, Paul was the only person that ever used the expression, the body of Christ. Amen. There were things God gave to Paul that he gave to no one else. Amen. And Peter tried, he worked at it, he finally says, Paul wrote stuff that's hard to understand.
And Paul saying, I am, I'm an apostle. I know I am an apostle. That's right. Now, when God gets this lampstand hammered into shape to the May, it's not Jesus. We're not Jesus. And yet we are part of Him. We are. You know, Paul says, it's not me, it's Christ. But when you look at Paul, you don't say, hello, Christ. Say, hello, Paul. So there's a double kind of thing. It's like Christ and the Father. Is He? Isn't He? Well, your church is split on this doctrine. See? You see me, you see the Father. I work, I do what the Father says. You see that? That's the way it is with the two witnesses. If you silence one, you silence both of them. Okay? If one's in victory, the other's in victory. Sure. Otherwise, when you take the members of Christ and make them the members of a prostitute, you both fall. You and Jesus. Think of that. So Paul says, I take the members of Christ, of Christ already, and make them the members of a prostitute. And you know, if Christ is being formed in you, wherever you go, you bring Jesus. And I'll tell you something, you make Him uncomfortable long enough, and He'll make you uncomfortable. That's right. That's right. And everybody else in town, too, until He gets His way. So don't bring me in here. I don't like this cigar smoke. Forget it. You and I are going somewhere else. If I have to break your leg to do it, we're going somewhere else. That's right. Because once you get and Christ starts to be informed in you, you know, you bring Him wherever you are. Amen. But just remember, you're not doing it yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And when God gets these two lampstands, they've never been available before. Just now. See, you measure and say, how close is that thing to getting ready? It's getting ready. Measure the thing. Yeah, it's pretty close, you know. God doesn't wait till everything is absolutely perfect. Boy, if He did that, nothing's going to get done. But He gets it pretty close. Praise the Lord. And He works on it as He goes along. That's right. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to hook up the two olive trees. That's the latter rain. That's the double portion. That's the greater works. That's the two loaves of Pentecost. He's not going to just dump it out on people so they can run around and see who's got the biggest tent. I've got 30,000 people in my tent. This man's got 32,000. I can't sleep at night. Trade this tent on. One's got 35,000. No, God isn't going to anoint church foolishness or big men or anything of the kind. He's just going to anoint two lampstands. Hallelujah. And that's what you're being prepared for. And you've got a space of time in which to operate. And during that space of time, there isn't a thing that Antichrist can do. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Lord, we know that You're the great lampstand of God. Hallelujah. The great one stands up in the tabernacle and is the light of the world. Your life is that light. And now, Lord, that life, which is the light of the world, not the knowledge, but the life, is being formed in us. And Lord, when we're ready, we know, and we know that anointing is soon to come. Hallelujah. And You are going to give power to Your witnesses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let the double portion, Lord, be upon Thy saints, O God. Hallelujah. We praise You, Lord. We praise You for rain in the time of the latter rain. Let's praise Him for the oil. Let's stand and praise Him for the oil that is going to be given to the lampstands of God.